a crescent moon in the night sky. The end of a fishing line drops into the image and spreads ripples across it. It's the surface of a lake. Up through the clouds, a boy sits in the crook of the moon holding a fishing rod. DreamWorks SKG. A splash of orange paint turns in the air. Globules separate from it. The paint forms a round blob. Nickelodeon Movies. A yellow sun made of paper in a blue sky. DreamWorks Pictures and Nickelodeon Movies present. Sometimes the sun shines on us. In association with Cold Spring Pictures, a Donner's Company Montecito Picture Company production. Letters are suspended on wires. They form the words, Hotel for Dogs. There's a bike wheel for the O in hotel and a tennis ball in dogs. Two dogs sit atop the letters. Paper models of birds are suspended on wires and hang against the blue sky. Emma Roberts, Jake T. Austin, Johnny Simmons, Kyla Pratt, Troy Gentile, Eric Edelstein, Robin Lee, AJ Nadu. Cardboard cut-out houses on a hill. A family of mannequins. A woman pours iced tea into a girl's cup. A man serves a burger to a boy from a barbecue. With Lisa Kudrow, Kevin Dillon and Don Cheadle. Casting by Randy Hiller, CSA and Sarah Hallie Finn, CSA. The mannequin family are round a table. A dog stands with its front legs up on the boy's seat. A real dog paws at a window where the mannequins are a display. A real man frowns at the dog from behind the mannequin man. He crouches at the window and wags his finger at the dog, speaking angrily. The dog trots away on its lead. It notices a man dropping something into a bin but missing. The dog goes over and noses about in the rubbish. Music by John Debney. Music supervisor, Julianne Jordan. Costume designer, Beth Pasternak, CDG. Editor, Sheldon Kahn, ACE. Production designer, William Sandel. The dog's wet nose sniffs the air to catch the scent of something. A couple of streets away, a man eats a hot dog. The little white terrier tries to follow the scent, but his lead stops him. He tugs on it and bites it. Eventually, he manages to wriggle out of it. He hurries off down the street. The dog smells a man squirting mouth spray, then goes past him. The dog weaves in and out of people walking along the street. The dog sniffs and he smells a sweaty builder who's drilling the road. His trousers hang low, revealing the top of his chubby buttocks. The dog reaches the guy eating the hot dog and stares up at him. The guy spots the dog and waves his hand to shoo the dog away. The dog puts its paws up on the bench. The guy frowns at the dog and covers his hot dog with his hand to hide it. Then he takes it from its wrapping and holds it up, mouthing, "You want some?" When the dog reaches up to take a bite, he whips it away and smirks. A van drives by through a puddle, showering the guy with water. Open-mouthed, he stares at the van and lowers his arms. The dog steals the remainder of the hot dog from his hand and makes off. Produced by Lauren Shuler Donner, Jonathan Gordon, Ewan Leslie, Jason Clark. Based on the book by Lois Duncan. Screenplay by Jeff Lowell and Bob Shuley and Mark McCorkle. Directed by Thor Freudenthal. In a station toilet, a boy of about 11 takes out smooth, round stones and lays them on the floor. He unrolls some cellophane wrapping. He puts one of the stones into a mobile phone box, wraps the box in cellophane and shrink-wraps the cellophane together under a hand dryer. The boy carries the mobile phone through the station and hands it to a girl waiting there without stopping or acknowledging her. Outside on the street, the girl feels the package, weighing it with her hands. She leans against a lamppost and taps it against her hand. The girl, Andy, is about 16. She's pretty and has long, dark, wavy hair. She heads into a shop with a sign on the window. Lucky Pawn. Money to lend. The boy, Bruce, swaggers down the street. Andy walks up behind him.
How'd we do?
$27.
Nobody questions shrink wrap.
The white terrier is foraging in the bin.
Are you hungry?
A little bit.
Dog probably is a lot.
Can you stop touching my hair? Hey, his collar slipped off. And he waited right here.
What a good boy.
Oh, we miss you too, buddy.
They pet him.
I hope he knows what we go through just to feed him. All right, here you go, Friday.
He chucks him a few burgers.
I've never seen a dog eat that much, ever.
And he gawps at a police officer some distance away.
Here you go.
The officer and a guy glance around.
Nice catch.
Go. Go!
Andy walks off. Bruce gathers their things.
Meet us at home, Friday.
Excuse me, miss.
That's her. She's the one who ripped me off.
Thank goodness you're here, officer. This guy's been stalking me all day, and it's really freaking me out.
Friday hides behind a bush. Bruce collides with another police officer. Everything falls out of his backpack, a mobile phone box, the stones and the cellophane wrap. Andy sighs heavily. A man in a car pulls up at the side of a road. He has two files, one with Andy's photo and one with Bruce's. In the police station, Bruce peers through an empty tube with a hole in the end and sees an inverted image. The man from the car strides in and up to Bruce.
Put it down.
Hey. Hey, Bernie.
Bernie glares at Andy.
Don't hey Bernie me. You know, I have half a mind to leave you two here.
Bruce and Andy exchange glances.
You're sprung. Come on, let's go.
He beckons them. They all head out.
Hurry up. I'll do the rest of my yelling while I'm taking you back.
Bruce and Andy sit in Bernie's car, gazing ahead glumly, Bruce in the back.
The guy could have pressed charges. You sold him a rock in a box for 20 bucks. Oh, that's funny?
Bruce bites his lip.
It's not funny, it's anything but funny. What if they'd called Carl and Lois instead of me?
Andy looks down.
I guess you'd have to find his new foster parents then.
In the back, Bruce listens.
Is that what you're trying to do?
She lowers her gaze.
You guys, that's a very dangerous game, I'm telling you.
One and...
At home, rockers Carl and Lois practice. Carl on guitar, Lois on the keyboard.
You know, the word harmonizing comes from the word harmony.
So?
So I'm saying you're still a half a step off.
Oh, really? Well, that's funny, because my vocal instructor, who is a paid vocal instructor, didn't notice that, but you did.
Here's the note.
You're late, and you interrupted rehearsal.
Very sorry. Get in there. Hurry up.
Babe, maybe we should skip this one and just play the hit.
They're all hits, baby.
You're right.
Hey, Bernie, huh?
Your food's on your trays.
Two trays of white and green mush.
Yummy. It's too bad we already ate.
Fine. It'll be lunch tomorrow. All right, could we just get back to the issue at hand, okay? I'm a kind woman, okay? In fact, everyone's always asking, Lois, why are you so kind? But we have rules, okay? We serve dinner at a certain time so we can finish dinner at a certain time.
So we can drop our rock manifesto on the world at a certain time.
Okay, but those times have come and gone. So, where were they?
She speaks into the mic. Andy and Bruce eye Bernie imploringly.
Look, this whole thing is my fault, okay? We were just getting caught up and we were having so much fun.
Yeah.
I just lost track of time. I'm sorry, really. My apologies. Now, why don't we just get them to their room and you guys can continue.
He searches for words.
Making that magic.
He smiles. In their room, Bruce picks up a fan from the sofa and Andy takes off her hoodie. Bernie enters.
Thanks for covering for
Andy,
us.
Andy, listen. You cannot afford to screw this up. You've only been here 2 months. Okay? This is your fifth set of foster parents in 3 years.
The Johnsons don't count. We're there for 2 hours.
Bernie glares at him.
Do you know the reaction I get when I tell people I'm trying to place 11 and 16-year-old siblings? It ain't a good one, okay? You guys mess this up, that's it. I don't have any more favors I can call in. I'm gonna have to place you two separately.
No! You know I won't let that happen, Bernie. We stay together.
All right, then take a little advice from me, okay? a technique that I've learned. When somebody who I don't particularly like is saying something that I don't want to hear, I just nod and I go, mm-hmm. It works wonders.
Mm-hmm.
He smiles.
Okay, I'm through with you guys.
He turns to leave. Friday's at the window.
I tell you what, I better not get any more phone calls about a trick with a brick or a scam with a hand.
Bruce runs over and hugs Bernie whilst Andy quickly positions herself in front of the window. Bernie eyes them suspiciously.
Okay, it was a good talk, Bernie. Thank you very much for stopping by.
Bruce shuts the door in his face. Andy opens the window. Friday comes in. Friday treads on the pedals of a cymbal. Andy quickly silences it. Bruce gets out a blanket that has Bone Sweet Bone written on it. Friday bounds onto it.
Good boy, somebody's tired today, huh?
I am.
Andy flops onto a bed next to the sofa and they both stroke the dog. Night. Bruce has fallen asleep on the sofa. He's hugging Friday, who's also fallen asleep. Andy comes over and puts a blanket over them, tucking them in. She sits on the edge of the sofa and gazes at them. She glances over at a photo of the two of them with their parents, the whole family looking happy. In the darkness, she turns and sags. She looks over at Bruce with concern. Day, New York City. Skyscrapers tower over Central Park. The slightly dingy apartment block where Andy and Bruce live. In their room, there's a photo of Bruce holding a trophy in front of a sign that reads Science Fair. Next to it are a series of complicated diagrams and notes. Bruce awakens on the sofa to find Friday gone.
Friday.
He glances around the room.
Andy? Friday's gone.
What?
They rush to the door.
Friday, come here. Where'd he go?
They hurry into the hall and through to the kitchen.
Good God. You two are just a bundle of energy.
Friday's behind her.
Good morning!
Stop shouting! My vocal instructor said getting frightened is bad for my pitch. What are you doing up so early?
Just thought we'd get some breakfast.
Friday goes behind a bag.
All right, so I unlocked the pantry. Your cereal's in there. You know how to get it. I'm not your servant, all right? I am obliged to prepare two meals a day. That's lunch and dinner.
Friday!
What?
I said, Bruce, what is the day after Thursday?
Friday.
Thanks.
Fine, get weird on me. I can handle weird.
From the top of the fridge, Friday knocks out a foldaway ironing board. Andy slams down plates as Friday jumps down.
Okay, I don't need your attitude about setting the table, okay? Don't be lazy.
Friday licks the spoon that Lois is holding. Unaware of this, she then licks the spoon.
I need cinnamon.
Or is it cinnamon that Carl's allergic to? Well, one way to find out, I guess. Let's see him harmonize with a tongue the size of a beehive.
Wait! You just reminded me of this really funny story. I was walking and I stepped on a bee and it stung me. So then I went in to care of my foot. Then I went back for the bee to throw it outside. And I thought, you know, I'd be safe because bees can't sting you more than once. Right? I mean, right? It was crazy. I mean, isn't that crazy?
Excuse me. You owe me 30 seconds of my life, and I will collect.
Friday eats a plate of bacon, then jumps from the counter just in time to avoid Lois. Bruce and Andy grab him and run into their room.
Thanks for the heart attack.
I also checked in there. Maybe they're in the kids' room.
Carl, did you eat the bacon?
Stay close, Friday.
Bruce bundles Friday out of an open window, then shuts it. Brushing his teeth, Carl bursts into their room.
I leave my whitening strips in here.
Outside, Friday trots along a little balcony. He gets into a basket hanging at the end of the balcony. He pulls a cord with his mouth. A wheel starts to turn and the basket slowly descends. He passes a cat on another balcony. The cat stands and meows in surprise. The basket lowers Friday to the ground. Friday hops out of the basket. He sniffs along the ground. His wet black nose twitches. He can smell a food cart on the next street that has a hunk of meat on a spit. Steam rises off it. Friday turns and spots the cart going past. He runs after it. He follows it along a busy street, darting between people and under a sheltered area. He sniffs the air. He's lost sight of the cart, but he notices steam rising from behind the corner. He runs over, but instead he finds smoke billowing from the exhaust of a large black van with the words Animal Control written across the back. A man gets out of the van and looms over Friday. On Andy and Bruce's balcony, a makeshift alarm made from a vibrating tin and a megaphone. Below on the street, Bruce winds a bicycle wheel to make it work.
He'd usually be here by now. You know, maybe he can't hear it. It's mealtime. He can hear it on the moon. He's probably just wandering around.
Bruce slings his backpack over his shoulder and heads off. Andy rolls her eyes, then follows.
Friday! Friday! What are we gonna do? Come on. Friday!
The animal control van drives past. They run along the street.
Friday!
They come to a halt, gasping for breath.
You don't think he went in there, do you?
He points to a tall stone derelict building. Wide-eyed, they stare at it.
No. Why would he go in there? He's probably just out looking for food.
Bruce nods.
Friday!
In a pet shop, two kids look at a tank full of puppies. Andy and Bruce walk in. A worker puts pet stuff down on a counter.
Nice haircut.
A girl turns to him.
Oh, thanks, Dave. I was hoping you'd notice.
Oh, I was actually talking about the Pomeranian. But yours is really nice, too. You did something new to it.
Well, I did. And I'm pretty sure you could tell when I first got it done because you kind of looked at me and then looked away and then looked back like, hey, something's different. But then you didn't say anything and I was like, ugh, men. So then the next day I tried to compliment you on your hair, you know, giving you a little hint.
No, absolutely. I totally remember that. Anyways, it looks great.
Bruce pins up a missing poster on a board with a photo of Friday. Andy squeezes a toy dog.
Can I help you?
Andy turns to Dave and gawks.
No, we're just looking for our dog. Don't suppose you've seen him, have you?
She hands him a poster.
No. Friday, that's a funny name. I bet when you find him, you'll say, thank God it's Friday. Right. It's a joke. So, I don't think I've ever seen you around here before. Do you go to Thomas Jefferson?
I will, actually, in the fall. Andy.
Dave.
Yeah, my family just moved here a couple of months ago.
Oh, that's cool. How do you like it so far?
What's not to like?
Bruce squeezes a toy. Andy turns to him.
We have to go.
No problem. You know, if he doesn't show up soon, you might want to check the pound.
Andy nods and heads out with Bruce. Dave smiles and watches her go. The animal control van drives along a wet road. It turns through an iron gate with a sign above that reads, Central Control Animal Pound. Inside, dogs are locked in cages. One husky paws at its cage. Bruce and Andy peer in through a glass panel in a door. One of the guards drags a dog along on a lead through a door. Another one comes out, carrying Friday. They smile and nod at the animal control officer, who nods back at them. He turns away and chucks Friday into a cage, slams the door shut, points at Andy and Bruce, and heads off. A man at reception.
Yeah, he just got in.
Yeah, I know, we just saw him. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm always glad when these things have a happy ending. We're open until 6, get your parents to come back, we'll figure it out.
Wait, come on, we're already here. It's our dog.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of paperwork. Grown-up paperwork. There's always a guy who screws up the paperwork. But you see this guy? I'm not that guy.
The guy stomps over to his desk behind the reception area. Bruce stares through the glass panel to where the dogs are kept. One of the guards comes back in. He has a long pole with a noose on the end used for catching dogs. He puts it in a bucket with others. Bruce reads a sign, check for your lost pet every day. We can only hold animals for 1 week is crossed out and instead it reads 72 hours. Bruce and Andy glance anxiously at one another. Andy takes out a wad of cash and lays it on the reception desk for the man to see. They walk home with Friday.
We can't let him out alone anymore. I mean, if he gets picked up again, we might not get him back. And things are gonna get so much harder when school starts.
She tucks her hair behind her ear.
Look, Bruce, I think we need to find Friday a new home.
Well, you know, I've got a few ideas.
No, we've been hiding him in alleys and garages, I mean, in the woods, for 3 years.
Bruce looks down.
Don't you think he deserves a real home with a real family?
But we are a real family.
And he closes her eyes and pouts sadly. Three hooded guys steal a stereo from a house. Andy gawps as the guys run past them. They spin round as a squad car pulls up.
You kids, hold it right there.
We can't get in trouble again.
We didn't do anything wrong. You want to tell them that?
Andy, Bruce and Friday flee down an alleyway. A cop with a flashlight chases after them. They run through the darkness, steam rising from the gutters. They come to a halt. Another squad car pulls up. They're trapped. Two neon signs light up. Hotel, delivery. Friday scampers into the building through a broken grate in a door.
Friday! No! Get back here!
Bruce!
Bruce follows Friday. He dives in through the broken grating, then Andy crawls through. Outside, the cop jogs down the street in the pouring rain, flashing his torch back and forth, searching for them. The light of the hotel sign switches off again as the cop nears. Andy peeks out. Another cop runs over.
Got anything?
No.
Andy leans back out of sight.
Forget it.
The cops head away down the alley.
It's just time for Andy to get out of here.
They stand up in the abandoned hotel.
Friday!
A light bulb flashes on and off.
Circuits are fried.
Friday!
Bruce gets a torch from out of his backpack and turns it on.
Bruce, stay close.
The place is full of grand furniture.
Wow. And he's looking at all this stuff.
They make their way through the gloomy rooms. Lightning flashes outside, illuminating the room briefly. Bruce shines his torch at a huge arched stained glass window. Bruce swiftly flashes his torch in the direction of the noise. The torch highlights a set of steps leading up to doorways.
Friday! Where are you, boy?
A dark shadow moves across one of the doorways. Andy and Bruce turn.
What's that? It's just an old hotel.
Hotels don't make footsteps. People make footsteps when they walk through hotels. With their feet.
A chair tumbles down the steps.
Good point. Come on.
They leg it, but stop at the growling sound.
Go, go, go!
They run in the other direction. They back into a corner as a giant dog-shaped shadow appears on the wall. A tiny Boston Terrier pads in. They stare at the little dog, recovering from shock. The dog trembles, then scampers under the legs of a huge Great Dane. Andy frowns. They turn as Friday comes over.
Friday, stay back.
Friday stands in front of the other two dogs with a ladle in his mouth. He puts the ladle down. The little dog comes out from the other dog's legs and picks up the ladle.
Think they belong to anyone?
If they did, would they be here? Better here than the pound.
Friday, wait!
The dogs all dash off up the stairs together. Bruce and Andy chase after them, Bruce shining the torch ahead. The dogs tear into one of the old bedrooms. Bruce and Andy hang outside momentarily, then go in too.
Look at that.
Okay.
The Great Dane's lying on an ornate carved wooden bed. Friday lies down beside him. The Boston Terrier jumps onto the bed and snuggles in between the other two dogs.
What about just, you know, leaving Friday with them tonight?
Andy turns to look at the dogs all cozy on the bed together, the Great Dane's mouth drooping as it snores.
One night.
Bruce nods at Andy eagerly. She shakes her head and walks off, and Bruce smiles.
Good night, guys.
It's
sleep tight.
Andy pulls down a blind at the window. The hotel is many stories high. At the top of the hotel, a sign lights up. It reads, Hotel Francis Duke. Night turns to day. A large, pleasant, detached house. Bernie stands in front of the mirror in the bathroom while his wife Carol talks at him. He holds a toothbrush and gazes ahead thoughtfully.
So, I mean, it's supposed to be a teacher appreciation lunch, right? But then it ends up being more work for us if we have to set it up and then clean it up. I mean, sometimes, you know, I could appreciate a little less appreciation, you know? Uh-huh. Don't nah-nah me. I taught you the nah-nah.
Yeah, that's true, but I'd like to think I've made it my own.
Really?
She packs a bag.
What's wrong?
It was these kids the other night.
Andy and Bruce?
Yeah.
Are they okay?
I don't know. I mean, it's bad enough they lost their parents. If they can't work this situation out, I don't know if we're going to be able to find a family that's going to take the both of them.
You do everything you can for them, you know? You can't bring home your work and let it make you crazy.
You're right.
Yeah. Love you.
Love you, too.
She hands him his watch and walks off.
It's too bad. And they really are good kids.
Biting his lip in concentration, Bruce tries to pick a padlock with some stiff metal wire. He gets it open.
It's three hungry dogs. Grab as much as you can.
The padlock was on a cupboard door at Carl and Lois's. Bruce grabs food from the cupboard whilst Andy raids the fridge. Lois enters sour-faced. She wears a dressing gown and her curly blonde hair is swept back behind an eye mask.
That's quite a load there.
They freeze.
Yeah, just getting some breakfast.
What are you, feeding the whole neighborhood?
Bruce swallows and shakes his head.
Okay, you wouldn't even touch this the first time.
I don't eat, you're angry. I eat, you're angry.
Okay, fine, people, eat. Lucky for you, I saved your dinners.
You can start with those.
She puts the trays of mush down on the table for them, and they exchange horrified glances. A chubby middle-aged woman unlocks a pair of wrought iron gates. She calls to a tubby boy.
Come on.
The boy turns and goes in through the gate reluctantly. The woman frowns at the noise. In the hotel bedroom, the Great Dane howls at the window. Lois peers out of her window.
What is that?
Her eyes bulging, Andy looks at Bruce. He eats faster.
You know, you would eat the meals I make. You wouldn't be so hungry in the morning.
You're right. Thank you so much, Lois.
Andy cringes as she forces down the slop. Bruce gags on his food. Andy starts to pull out a hair from her mouth. She keeps pulling as more and more curly blonde hair comes out. She frowns in disgust.
Done!
The animal control van drives in the vicinity of the hotel.
I'm hearing something.
Bruce and Andy race along the street as the van pulls up. They slow as they pass the van. Two animal control officers, ACOs, get out. One wears a pair of heavy-duty red rubber gloves. Bruce and Andy enter the hotel bedroom. They run over to the Great Dane, who's still howling and barking by the window.
What's the problem? I don't know. Why are you asking me? Stop howling, please.
Andy opens the blind and the light floods in. Other tower blocks are visible standing against the blue sky. Friday and the Boston Terrier come out from under the bed. Andy closes the blind again. The ACOs glance about. In an alley, the chubby woman looks up.
Yes, I'd like to call in and complain about a howling dog.
Andy lifts the blind. The Dane sniffs Bruce.
That's it? All that just so you could look out a window?
On the phone.
Never mind.
The woman, Mrs. Campbellwell, hangs up her phone. The tubby boy, Mark, stares upwards. At the hotel, Andy looks at a big old leather-bound book with Hotel Francis Duke embossed on the front. She opens it. It's the signing-in book. She leaps through the pages where guests have signed their names. The three dogs stand over bowls of food.
Even Lenny and Georgia won't touch it.
Frowning, Andy turns to him.
We need to go get some real dog food for them.
Wait, who?
Lenny and Georgia? That's what I named the new dogs.
No, no naming them. If you name them, you're gonna get attached. Andy, look at her.
The Boston Terrier.
Tell me she's not a Georgia. Bruce, I'm not kidding, okay? I'm glad that Friday's getting along well with dog number one and dog number two, but we're barely keeping our dog safe. I mean, do you know what happens if we get caught in here? Trespassing, breaking and entering. I heard what Bernie said. They'd split us up and ship us off. Are you even listening?
Bruce is watching Friday, who's pulled his bone-sweet-bone blanket out of Bruce's backpack. He carries it across the room in his mouth, then sets it down. Andy watches with interest. Friday steps onto the blanket and turns around and around, chasing his tail. Eventually, he sits down. He looks up at them and cocks his head, almost pleadingly. Andy softens.
So I'll stay here and keep him quiet while you go out and get some real food. Okay?
She rolls her eyes.
Okay, fine. But just for now. And I'll be back. Stay, Friday. Stay, Georgia. You better keep him quiet.
Andy leaves and Bruce smiles to himself. He gazes around the hotel, which is full of old furniture and objects. There's a set of grand shelves with several little models on it, including a ship and a train. Bruce goes through a trunk. He pulls out a hat with pink plumage. He roots through the trunk, a wind-up musical toy, then puts it down on the floor. He continues going through the trunk. He picks up the hat and throws it across the room. He pulls out another contraption from the trunk, but stops and turns back. The hat is crawling across the floor. The hat reaches him, and he pulls back the feathers to reveal Georgia.
Huh. You like to fetch.
A sign reads, Primary Paws. Andy's in the pet store. She checks the change in her hand.
Hey. So you found your dog?
Yeah. He's fine.
That's great. Can I help you find anything?
No, just getting some dog food.
That's 40 pounds, by the way.
Yeah, that's probably right.
For that little dog on the flyer, 40 pounds?
Well, the thing is, I have three dogs. Two of them are strays. My parents, they just love animals.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, you know, they're the best. I'm really lucky. We have this big yard, and we just rescue dogs all the time.
She nods.
All the time?
Well, yeah, whenever.
Cute Dave stares at her.
You know what? Here, come with me.
She puts down a dog toy and they go into another room.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
Two cages, a bulldog and a collie.
We adopt out dogs here, but we can't get anybody to take these guys. They're not puppies anymore and everybody always wants puppies.
Tell me about it.
They're also kind of, they're lovably defective. Cooper, he's my favorite. I think he's actually half goat. There's not a substance on earth he can't chew through. He's been through pocketbooks, cell phones, shoes, handbags. Even ate through a license plate once.
Cooper, the bulldog.
This is Shep.
A pretty black and white collie.
Yeah, she's got some herding issues.
Shep nudges Andy.
Yeah. Oh, Pushy.
I like Pushy.
He eyes Andy.
So they've got quirks. I mean, they're still adorable.
Good. I'm glad you think so, because you're taking them.
What? No.
The dogs look up at her.
The owner says we can't keep them forever. And if I can't find a place to put them, then they're going to the pound.
Look, I'm sorry, but there's no way that I can just...
Try taking care of a few strays. What's three more?
Three?
Oh, yeah. You're gonna love this guy. Romeo. Romeo. Romeo.
A hairless crested Chinese dog.
Whoa.
The dog's body is hairless, but it has a furry head.
What if you just took him for a little while? Until I can figure something out. I'll pay for food, I get an employee discount. It's the least I can do.
At the hotel, Bruce tries on a concierge's cap in front of a full-length mirror. Georgia runs over with a badminton racket. Bruce turns to her.
Georgia, I'm sorry, but I can't stand here all day playing fetch with you. Georgia, zip it. No, guys, come on. Please, oh no. What's it going to take for me to get you guys to...
He looks at the hat in his hand, then at a broom. A van with doggy ears drives along a street. It has a tail. Dave's driving.
Sweet ride.
Yeah, it's pretty much a chick magnet. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Getting close. Right there. That's it.
This is where you live?
Actually, my parents are out of town, so I kind of had to make other arrangements.
They turn down the alleyway by the hotel and get out of the van.
This place looks condemned. What are we doing here?
It's where we keep the dogs.
Well, are you allowed to be in there?
No, so let's move it.
Inside, Bruce is building a gadget with the broom and the hat.
All right, guys, watch this.
He puts the ladle in the hat.
Ready?
He puts his hand on a lever. Andy and Dave walk through the hall.
Are you sure it's safe in here?
Yeah, we've been poking around here for a couple of days.
Bruce pulls the lever and catapults the ladle through the air. It hits Dave, knocking him down.
Okay, that hurt.
Georgia runs down a plank of wood on the stairs and over Dave, who's on the floor, picks up the ladle, then heads back. Andy stares at Dave, mouth agape. Andy and Dave climb the stairs.
Hold your fire, hold your fire.
Bruce, you remember Dave, right? Dave from the pet store. Hi, Dave. He just needed a place to keep a couple of dogs, and I thought, you know, hey, we have a place.
Bruce nods.
So you made this?
The catapult.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
Dave inspects it.
And how'd you learn how to make that?
Bruce looks down.
My dad.
Wouldn't it be easier just to throw it, though?
Yeah, but that's not really the point. The point is when I get it working, she should be able to play fetch even when we're not here.
Dave nods and narrows his eyes in thought.
Can you give me free pay-per-view?
Oh, poop!
They all turn at the sound of the voice.
Literally! What is going on here? I mean, who poops on the floor?
Lenny bows his head.
Sorry, I need to work on that.
How'd you find us?
I followed the van with the ears and the tail.
It's Heather.
You're not gonna tell anyone, are you?
She stops and stares at Bruce.
Why would I tell? I'm gonna help you guys.
Really?
Yeah, I love dogs. And there's a lot more to taking care of them than throwing a stick and feeding them. You guys need me.
They eye her dubiously. Georgia lays the ladle at Heather's feet.
I say she's in. Okay. I mean, how much trouble can they be?
Bruce peeks out of the door onto the alley, checking around for other people. Seeing that the coast is clear, he beckons Andy out. They and all the dogs on leads venture onto the street. Andy struggles with four dogs while Bruce has two, along a nearby street.
Do you really think we can do this, like, every day?
Yeah, why not? This is a piece of cake.
Bruce gets yanked over. Back at the hotel, Dave dumps some cushions in a bin in the alley. Inside, the dogs muck around. Cooper chews up a sofa. The dogs run riot.
Guys, stop.
Aren't we supposed to be wearing them out? This is totally normal.
Her face falls.
Oh, so you think this is funny? No, not at all. Actually, I was just about to thank you for reminding me to watch Queer Eye's step.
Lois is out putting up posters for her and Carl's band. On the other side of the street, Andy and Bruce walk the dogs. Lois turns. She sees an old lady holding a lead, seemingly connected to the six dogs on their leads. In fact, Andy and Bruce are hiding behind an electricity box in between. At the hotel...
You know, I think we might be in a little over our heads.
It's 4-6. We're outdogged.
They lean against a fountain in the foyer, which now has running water. Friday has his head in a bag of dog biscuits.
Guys, it's really not that bad. I mean, if you look at it, dogs have three basic needs. That's eating, sleeping, and then peeing and pooping.
That's four.
No, I think peeing and pooping's one.
I've stepped in both, and I'd have to disagree.
Cooper chews a shoe.
Look, guys, I'm serious. I really think I can make this work.
How?
They all look at him doubtfully. In one of the rooms of the hotel, there's a gym. They set up several treadmills. Heather ties a bone to the end of one of them. The dogs walk on the treadmills, trying to reach the bones in front of them. Cooper lunges for the bone at the end of his treadmill. Bruce has put down bowls of food all in a row. He scoops biscuits out of a larger bowl into their bowls. Friday moves from one end of the line to another for a second helping. Bruce sits at a table writing notes. There are screwed up bits of paper all around him. He shows Friday.
What do you think?
It's a diagram for an automatic feeder for the dogs. Andy paints Cooper's name onto a bowl. She smiles at Dave, who's sawing a plank of wood. He smiles back. He saws through and Georgia drops off the plank. Friday brings Bruce a screwdriver. It turns 8 o'clock and wooden flaps open. Through holes in a wooden board, food is automatically dispensed into the dog's bowls. Dave mops the floor. Romeo pees against a pillar nearby.
No.
He sags. He spots Lenny and Cooper, who have also peed and pooped all over the floor. Georgia has dipped her face in a can of bright yellow paint. Dave paints a fire hydrant gold. A painted sign with a picture of a dog peeing. And an arrow.
Ready?
In the toilets, Bruce lays down a few dog biscuits on a carpeted ramp and nods. Tiny Romeo scampers over to the biscuits. The ramp lowers and some curtains open in front of him to reveal the gleaming gold fire hydrant. A silver tray provides a ramp up to the plinth that the hydrant is on. Romeo goes over to the plinth and gets on it without stepping on the tray. He sniffs around the base of the hydrant, then lifts his leg to pee on it. Bruce beams as he watches. When he's done, Romeo toddles off the plinth down to the tray, which activates a pulley. This switches on a shower over the plinth, cleaning it. The curtains close. In another room, toilet seats are fixed in holes in a wooden sideboard. Several of the dogs are sitting on them. Cooper plods along and sits on one. The other dogs watch him. Air fresheners hang over the toilet seats. Beneath the seats are plastic bags that the poop drops into. The bag falls down onto a conveyor belt, slips out through a rubbish chute, and lands in a skip on the street. The dog van pulls into the alley next to the hotel. On the main street, Mark is checking out sneakers at a stall. He turns to see the van. Sucking a lolly, he peers round the corner at it. Inside the hotel, Heather and Andy look in at the doggy toilets.
That's disgusting. That has to be the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Mark.
That's awesome.
Andy turns to him.
We just wandered in here. I'm not really sure what that thing was.
A ball bounces along the corridor. Georgia chases it.
Don't worry. I'm not going to tell anyone. In fact, if you let me, I'd love to help you guys. I just work down the street, you know, I could keep an eye on the fuzz, could run interference.
He licks his lips.
Massage your shoulders.
Okay, easy there, Tiger.
Yeah, thanks for the offer, but I think we got it under control.
Could I have a word with you?
Chubby, curly-haired Mark beckons Dave over to him. He grabs him by the shoulder.
All right, I've got to be honest. I'm at a critical point in my social development, and those are two fine-looking hot women you have behind you, and let's face it, you can't date them both.
Dave nods.
So what do you have dibs on?
Dibs? I don't have dibs per se.
Gotcha.
Mark slaps Dave on the arm and marches over to Heather.
Name's Mark.
Hi, Mark. You're on poop duty.
Okay. So, how many dogs are we talking here?
Just six. Seven.
Bruce arrives with a big Doberman-like mutt.
What is that?
Shep and Friday run out.
Actually, this is the newest member of our family. This is Henry.
The poor guy was scrounging for food in the junkyard.
Bruce, that Andy, honestly, we have enough room. We could take one more.
One more? We can fit like 10 more. Think about that.
Oh, yeah, why don't we just wander the streets and rescue every stray we see?
Heather frowns at Mark.
That was funny.
Friday sits on a transmitting device.
Dispatch to 22, we have a stray on St. Andrews and 6th. St. Andrews and 6th.
Bruce turns and grabs a portable radio.
Okay, guys, we got a stray on St. Andrews and 6th. That's St. Andrews and 6th. It's right near the pound, so hurry.
ACO Max gets out of the animal control van with one of the nooses. A small fluffy dog on the pavement runs off.
Hello? Hi, sorry to bother you. We were wondering if we can have a minute of your time.
Not interested.
We work for the school newspaper, and we would love an interview.
All right, you know what? I don't have time for this. You guys just get out of here, skedaddle, and play somewhere else.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Mark has put the stray under his jacket.
What's the matter? Never seen a husky kid in a hoodie before?
At the hotel.
All right, guys, get over to the old railroad depot ASAP.
Over there, that's them.
There are two tawny-haired dachshund-like mutts.
He's stuck.
One's stuck under the railings.
Is she hurt?
Dave starts to dig her out.
That's so sweet they stayed together. You okay?
You're safe now. We're gonna take care of you guys.
Give me paw.
Friday high-fives Bruce.
There's that white one again.
Friday's in the road. ACO Max.
Here, dog. Here, dog.
Dave and Andy open the animal control van.
Come on, guys, you're being rescued.
There are several dogs in the back.
Here, dog. Hey, come back here, you mangy mutt. Hey, come back here.
The ACOs chase Friday.
Okay, come on. Come on, everybody.
The dogs go from one van to another.
Head to tail, head to tail. Come on. Come on. Get across, guys. Go, go, go. Come on, trust it. You can do it. Come on. Come on.
The last dog, which is three-legged, pauses before crossing the plank they've put up.
Good boy.
Passengers loaded. Heading back to base.
Copy that.
Bruce talks into his mobile. The ACOs go back to their van. They find it open and a note that reads, "Went for a walk," with a dirty paw print on it. The gang amble down the alleyway with all of the new dogs, some on leads and some in their arms. Steam rises behind them and their hair blows in the wind. In the hotel, Bruce looks through the old sign-in book. On a new page, he writes the names of the new dogs in coloured pencil. At the pound, all the cages are empty. Outside, Max and another ACO play thumb war.
One,
okay.
Two,
okay.
Three, go.
Wait.
Oh,
wait.
What's that?
Hey, what is this? What's going on?
Thumb war.
Thumb war. Any calls?
Nothing. Huh.
Tall, skinny ACO Dooley stands outside the gates and looks around.
Where are all the dogs?
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway.
A car tears down a long straight road that cuts through a dry plain. A dog with long white and grey fur leans out of the passenger window. An alarm clock rings. On a screen, the image of the road jumps, then disappears.
Thank you for riding the simulator. Please exit for the next customer. Out! Next.
More dogs run into the seats in front of the screens.
And please keep your paws inside the vehicle at all times.
Car doors are positioned next to the seats. The seats move around on springs and the image of the open road plays in front of the dogs. Dogs jump up against a door fixed up in a room when a doorbell rings behind it. They jump on a mat by the door, which is attached to a cord, which makes a bell ring behind another door in the room. That makes a boot kick the first door. A contraption made with a tennis racket fires a tennis ball into the air. The pack of dogs race after the ball, but little Romeo's in the way. He lies flat on the floor and the dogs race past. In another room, the kids have covered the floor with mattresses and they bounce up and down on them with the dogs. Cooper has bitten through a mattress and is tearing out the stuffing. Feathers fill the room and float through the air. Romeo cowers under a cushion. Heather uses an industrial dishwasher to wash the dogs. A poodle goes into it covered in soap suds. Dave tries to get Romeo out from under a table.
Come on, come on. Come on. There's got to be something you like to do.
Dave gives up on squeezing the dog toy. Romeo gazes over at the poodle as it emerges from the dishwasher, clean and fluffy. It shakes itself dry. Dave turns to see the poodle. The poodle trots out of the room. Romeo stares at her wistfully, his eyes wet.
Go get her. Go get her.
Dave points after the poodle. Romeo bounds off. In another room, Shep the collie is rounding up sheep. The kids have made sheep models and stuck them onto motorized toy cars. Romeo walks amongst the motley sheep, following the poodle. Romeo spies the poodle running out of the room. He looks round at the sheep. Romeo drives out of the room in one of the cars that the sheep are on top of. The poodle scampers through a corridor and up a flight of steps. Romeo stops at the steps and gets out of the car. He follows up the steps on paw. The steps lead to a roof garden. He watches as the white poodle trots over the grass, her powder puff tail bobbing up and down. They're on the roof garden. The poodle sits by some railings on a stone bench that looks over the city. Romeo joins her on the bench. He turns to her and slowly she turns to him. Romeo's eyes flash and she closes her eyes momentarily as she gazes at him. In the hotel, Cooper plods up to a vending machine. He treads on another pressurized mat which activates a hand, which keys in a letter and finally a shoe is dispensed. Cooper takes the shoe and sits down on a sofa, munching away at it.
I'll get it.
Bruce and Andy are at Carl and Lois's. Carl's on the sofa.
Bernie.
Oh, hey, Bernie.
Excellent. Bernie.
Carl, Lois, I'm going to borrow the kids for a second. Is that okay?
I don't know if you heard, but Lois and I got a gig this weekend. Paid.
Wow, really?
I'm going to RSVP you and the missus as yes, right?
I'm not sure that I'm actually going to be able to make it.
What about that friend of yours that owns the club?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely going to be there.
Yeah? Excellent.
Bernie and the kids leave.
I told you.
Yeah.
So what is this emergency?
Who cares? At least we're out of there. They're about to start band practice.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys, I think I may have found the perfect foster parents for you.
In a building.
Perfect?
They're perfect. Okay, they had two foster kids that just went off to college, and they're looking for two more. And I think you guys are really going to love them. So that's it. No more Carl and Lois. You guys get packed. You're out of here.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you.
Best part about it is it's only 3 hours away. You guys are free.
Andy and Bruce head off, but halt.
What? That far?
Bernie turns to them.
Yes? What's the problem?
Well, we really like the area. We've made a lot of great friends.
Yeah, and, you know, Carl and Lois is saying really grows on you.
You hate Carl and Lois.
He frowns and shakes his head.
Guys, what's going on?
He stares at them.
I mean, they want to make you a part of their family.
Look, we appreciate everything you've done, but...
Guys, you're not going to get another chance like this. I really think you should go.
Andy looks at Bruce, who lowers his eyes.
We'd like to stay.
Bernie shakes his head in disbelief.
Well, I have no idea what you guys are doing.
Andy shifts uncomfortably.
We're really sorry.
Bernie eyes them both resignedly and traipses off. Andy and Bruce watch him go. With slumped shoulders, they bow their heads. On the roof garden, Andy sits on the wall of a fountain in the centre. Romeo and the poodle are sitting on the bench in front of her. She gazes ahead thoughtfully, then closes her eyes.
We're doing the right thing, aren't we, Friday?
Friday rests his head on her lap and she strokes him. Dave walks over.
Good job, puppy.
Dave strokes Friday's head and sits.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, just looking.
You come up here a lot, huh?
Yeah. I'm just guessing this is the kind of view I wouldn't be able to afford if this place were a real hotel.
Dave nods.
So, what are you doing tomorrow night?
Sneaking out, serving 60 pounds of kibble, maybe mopping up some drool.
Because, a friend of mine is having this party and you could come and meet some people you'll be going to school with. The key word here really being people.
Friday looks over at them.
Good point.
Great. So, where should I pick you up?
Why don't you just tell me where it is? I can meet there.
He nods.
All right.
They glance over awkwardly at Romeo and the poodle, who are licking each other's tongues and faces. They smile. Friday bolts.
That's dinner.
Andy gets up and hurries off. Dave winks at Romeo and gets up. Romeo jumps off the bench and is quickly followed by the poodle. Heather sets a table with posh hotel plates and cutlery. Friday barks at other dogs who are on the toilets. They follow. Heather puts out breadsticks and bones. Friday goes into the room where the doggy car rides and barks. They follow. The dogs scramble into the grand dining room.
Hey, guys. Ready for dinner?
hungry, buddy?
The dogs all sit on plush chairs at a long dining table.
Smells great.
Oh, thank you.
Dave gets the girls' chairs.
Thanks.
The kids sit at the head table. A toy dog pops out of a cuckoo clock. A painting at the end of the table lowers out of its frame. Behind it is a conveyor belt with dog bowls on it. Above the conveyor belt is a rotating wheel that dispenses the bowls onto the belt. Above that, dog biscuits move along a plastic tube. They drop out of a funnel into empty tins that are attached to another rotating wheel. When the tins are at the bottom of the wheel, they spin over and deposit biscuits into the bowls. The dogs sit at the table, drooling.
Thanks.
So, Heather, it's kind of like a dinner date, isn't it?
Heather wrinkles her nose and looks disturbed. The bowls are now on the table, pulled along by a toy train. Bruce taps his glass.
To us. To a real family.
He smiles at Andy.
To us.
To us.
Cheers.
To us.
Lindsay.
The kids clink their glasses together. The dogs put their front paws on the table and gobble down the food from their bowls. At home, Andy draws back bead curtains and sighs. She looks into her sparse wardrobe.
If cartoon birds and mice were ever going to make me a dress for the ball, now would be a good time.
She takes out a strapless purple dress.
How long are you going to be gone?
A few hours, maybe. It's just a party.
Bruce glances down.
What if anything goes wrong?
Bruce, you can handle it. You can handle anything. I mean, have you stopped and looked around the hotel? I could disappear for a week and you'd be able to keep everything running.
Yeah, but you're not going to disappear for a week, right?
Of course not. Now, if you could just build me a dress, then you'd be a real wizard.
You should check out room 502.
Andy opens the door of room 502. The door is scratched and dirty. Inside, she opens the door of a closet that's packed with clothes. She beams. At a party, Heather picks up a couple of drinks. The place is heaving with teenagers chatting and dancing. A girl on her mobile, a pretty brunette, flirts with a guy. Heather chats 10 to the dozen to Dave. Andy strolls in wearing a pretty dress. It has a navy blue top, gold waist and a white pleated floaty skirt. Dave catches sight of her and gawps. Andy smiles. Heather turns to see Andy. Dave heads over to her and Heather smiles fondly. Dave can't take his eyes off Andy.
You look good. Wow, you look gorgeous.
What, this old thing?
She grins at him.
Here, come on. Let me show you around.
Lois goes through Bruce's bag.
No, Lois, that's my personal. That's...
She pulls out a hairdryer with wires hanging out of it. Carl shoves him into a chair.
So what else have you stolen?
Nothing.
So you admit you did steal it?
Never said that, Lois.
You might as well tell the truth. Do you really think you could outsmart us?
Bruce eyes them bitterly.
I'd rather not answer that question, Carl.
At the party...
I love you, Dad.
What's up? Mary Ann, this is Andy. She's going to be going to school with us next year.
Nice to meet you.
Andy!
Andy turns, a handsome young man approaches.
Hey, Jason.
Hey.
How you doing?
All
right. You guys already know each other?
Yeah, it's Andy, right?
Do I know you from somewhere?
Yeah, you live in my grandmother's building with the Scudders.
No, I'm over on Oak. I have one of those faces, though.
No, you live with the Scudders. Come on, help me out here. I'm not crazy. They're your foster parents. You and your little brother, Barry.
Bruce.
That's it, Bruce.
Dave frowns.
Andy, what is he talking about?
Oh, my God, you guys. It's no big deal. So I guess the Scudders have been foster parents before. Big deal. They're also our aunt and uncle. We're just staying with them while our parents are traveling in China. And we just call them our parents because it's easier than talking about this whole long, boring story, okay?
Heather frowns at a girl.
I'm thirsty. Anyone else?
She backs away.
Anyone?
Andy bashes into a guy carrying drinks. He drops the drink over Andy. Everyone gapes at her.
Andy.
She barges past him and storms off.
Andy.
Dave hands his drink to Heather and chases after her. At the hotel, the dogs sit at the table waiting for food. A an electric whisk, which is powering the machine, shorts out. Sparks fly and everything comes to a halt. The dogs glance around anxiously. The dogs stare at the empty bowls stuck on the machine. The dogs climb off the chairs and sprint through the hotel. The dogs run amok in the old hotel kitchen. One dog knocks a bag of flour off a countertop. Another dog knocks over a huge bag of rice. The rice pours into a bowl. A chihuahua in the bowl gets sunk in the rice. It struggles out. Another dog is in the bread bin, and another spins around in a mixing bowl. A dog strides across a countertop, knocking plates off as he goes. The plates smash on the floor. Georgia grabs a bone from the front of a stationary treadmill. Massive Henry growls at tiny Georgia. Georgia backs away from Henry. Georgia treads on a button. The treadmill switches on and she's flung backwards. At Carl and Lois's...
You can't hold it, Bernie, yet.
I'm on hold.
Well, tell him it's an emergency. Tell him I'm being stolen from.
Tell who? I'm on hold.
Bruce looks round nervously.
Don't think this means that you...
She notices Bruce has gone.
You let him get away.
Bruce legs it down the street towards the hotel. Carl follows. At the hotel, Henry chases Georgia, who still has the large bone in her mouth. Georgia jumps through a series of hoops on a doggy assault course, but Henry gets stuck in one. Georgia scrambles through a tunnel and the other dogs follow her. She stands on a tray as other dogs surround her. He climbs onto a table behind her. There's no escape. He jumps down, but the tray she's on is on the other end of the plank of wood, and Henry's weight catapults Georgia through the air. She lands on a sofa and races off again. She leaps over the chair rides. Henry knocks over the car doors. Georgia leaps onto some indoor scaffolding. Henry bounds up behind her. The rest of the dogs are shortly behind. Part of the scaffold collapses under Henry's weight. As he jumps off the end, he knocks three tins of paint through the air. Turning in the air, the paint splashes over a couple of pugs. Bruce tears into the hotel. He finds it in a state of chaos. Friday is sitting on the floor. Bruce glances up as the two multicoloured pugs canter past. Bruce follows them into the foyer where all the dogs are gathered around the fountain. Georgia is in an old phone box, chewing her bone with the doors shut. Lois and Carl near the entrance.
Hurry up!
I'm wearing heels!
Well, so am I.
They enter from the alleyway.
I can't believe they own a hotel.
Oh, God, Carl, you're such an idiot.
They pass several ornate chandeliers and head up some steps. They walk through the hotel.
Stay close to me, baby.
They tread on a mat.
What was that? Don't answer it.
They're in one of the dog's playrooms with different things that knock on the doors. They look behind one.
Hey, that's my wah-wah pedal. No wonder my sound's been off.
Yeah, that's why.
This crap is amazing.
Yeah, because it's our crap. They've been robbing us blind.
Good girl.
Bruce fetches Georgia.
Drop it. Georgia. Drop it. Georgia. Bruce. Some of it. Drop it, please. Bruce.
Bruce turns.
What happened? Don't ask. What happened with you?
Her dress is stained and her makeup smudged. They look up in alarm. They run to the window and look out at the flashing lights of a squad car.
No.
A police officer gets out of the squad car and inspects the hotel. Andy grabs a whistle.
Let's get out of here. Where's the exit?
Like I left breadcrumbs? Wait, guys, go! Go!
Bruce pulls a lever, all the lights go out.
Put the lights back on.
I didn't do it.
Shh.
One of the sheep.
What is that?
Its eyes are glowing red in the dark.
I don't know. Let's get out of here.
Carl and Lois go into the doggy toilet. Two police officers march towards the hotel. One of them cuts open a chain on the door with bolt croppers. The cops enter, shining their torches around.
You sure they said it was coming from here?
Don't know.
They peer into the darkness.
Let's check upstairs.
One of the cops treads on Friday's cushion as they head off.
Did you hear cops?
I don't know.
A lighter.
Oh, good.
They look around by its light.
Well, if those were cops, we're going to turn them in ourselves, because I smell reward.
I don't think that's reward you smell.
Carl and Lois fall back onto the conveyor belt that takes them to the rubbish chute, and they drop into the dumpster full of poop outside.
Where are we?
We're in deep doo-doo.
The cops tramp slowly down a corridor of the hotel. Andy, Bruce, and all the dogs hide in a room.
Okay, stop breathing like that.
Bruce puts his hand over Cooper's mouth. The dogs look at the door. Andy glances at the door nervously. Lenny growls and throws back his head.
No, don't.
The cops burst into the room, which is crammed full of dogs. Outside, the street is swarming with animal control. ACO Max picks up the poodle and puts it into the back of a van. Another ACO pulls Romeo away from the poodle. All the dogs are being loaded into the vans. The two cops have Andy and Bruce. Bruce is carrying Friday. ACO Max strides over and grabs Friday.
No! What are you doing? Friday! You can't do this! No! Friday! Stop! Friday! Friday! Let go of me!
Max locks Friday with other dogs in the back of a van. The cops drag Bruce and Andy away. Andy gazes across the scene, her eyes full of misery. Dave and Heather arrive and she spots them. They watch as she's put in a squad car. In the squad car, Andy puts her arm around Bruce and ruffles his hair. Dave watches sadly as the car pulls away. The signs that read Hotel Delivery go out. Day, Bruce and Andy sit on a bench at the police station. Carol brings them some drinks.
It's okay. Thanks. You're welcome.
She sits on the bench next to them.
We're in a lot of trouble, aren't we?
Yeah. But Bernie's doing everything he can to help.
She raises her brows.
Okay.
They nod.
Look, is there any way that they could just stay with you for a little while longer until I can find a family that'll take them?
Not a chance. Uh-uh. God knows how much they've stolen from us. We have a lot of very rare and valuable items in our home, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're going to go and do a full inventory, and we're letting you know, all right? This is an outrage. An outrage! I'm suing you. I'm suing those kids. I'm suing the state. I'm suing the guy that invented shrink wrap. I'm suing everyone!
Andy, Bruce, Bernie, and two social workers head out of the station.
So, you're gonna send us to that other house now, right? That nice couple?
Bruce,
we're gonna be fine. I'll take care of it. Don't worry.
Bernie and Andy amble away together.
Come on, Bernie. You have to help us, please. Bruce needs me. He's gonna get chewed up out there.
Andy, I'm sorry, okay? There's nothing I can do about it.
You can't separate us, okay? Don't punish him just because I screwed things up.
Listen, the best thing you can do for Bruce right now is let him have a fresh start.
Bruce is taken off.
Sorry.
Andy's led away.
Can I just say one thing to my sister?
Bernie nods and Bruce walks over to Andy, tears well in his eyes. Andy looks at the ground.
Look at Andy.
He shakes his head.
Don't worry about me, okay? I'm gonna be fine.
I was supposed to keep us together. I was supposed to protect us.
And if we had to protect the dogs, if I had to do it over again, I'd do the exact same thing.
Both crying, they hug each other tightly. Bernie watches them gravely. He lowers his eyes with a pensive expression. He steps over to them. Andy gets into a waiting car, and Bernie shuts the door.
I think about how it might have been.
The car pulls away. Andy sits in the back, weeping. The Pound's cages are full again. It's not that I don't understand. The dogs lie in them listlessly. Romeo and the poodle are in separate cages next to each other. They paw at the wall. The way you want to be. A sign outside a large house reads Central City Foster Home for Boys. Boys race down the stairs. The boys grab slices of pizza. By the time Bruce gets there, it's all gone. In another home, Andy sits at a table with others. A tray of food sits in front of her, untouched. At the Pound...
Tomorrow morning for all of them.
Yep.
Friday's not in a cage. He peeks around the corner at the dogs.
We're gonna be busy.
I use the overtime.
Two animal control officers, Jake and Max, pace down the corridor. Friday watches the officers. He's tied to a leash at the end of the corridor. Other dogs are tied there too. He wriggles free of his leash but stands still next to the wall as Jake and Max pass and head through a door. Friday hurries through the door before it closes. He bounds off down the road, unnoticed by Jake and Max. He gets into the basket that lifts him up to Lois and Carl's balcony. He looks in through the window at what was Andy and Bruce's room. Their beds are stripped, and they're not there. Friday paws at the window, then sags. Bernie enters the once more derelict hotel. In the foyer, water trickles down the fountain. Bernie glances around the place. He runs his hand over an old brass statue, then wipes the dust off his hands. Frowning, he notices the signing-in book on a table. He picks it up to study it. He opens it and peruses all the dogs' names, some with pictures of the dogs by them. A beagle crawls out from behind furniture.
Huh. And which one are you? They must have left you behind. You're the lucky one. Come here, buddy.
The dog scampers out from under a sheet that's over the furniture, but takes a corner before it reaches Bernie. Bernie follows the dog into a dark room. The dog sits in front of branches arranged on the floor. Bernie finds a cord and pulls it. Fairy lights illuminate the room. A dark backdrop represents the night sky. The fairy lights hang in thin branches arranged to look like trees. A lighted moon is high in the night sky and two painted cardboard clouds rotate on a propeller-like object. Bernie smiles. Friday trots along a street. He weaves in and out of the legs of pedestrians. Friday pauses and looks around, then continues. He stops outside a barber's shop and the customers peer out at him. Friday heads up the street once more. He's standing opposite Primary Paws, the pet shop where Dave and Heather work.
I know how to sit, how to fetch, and how to roll over.
Dogs on a TV screen.
What I don't know is how I ended up in here.
At Andy's home.
Would you please turn that off?
A girl painting her toenails lethargically lifts the remote and switches off the TV.
Please. I did turn it off.
Andy stares at the blank screen. She goes to a window. Outside the window, Friday barks. Friday trots over to Dave, who's in the garden too. Bruce sits on steps outside the boys' home. Other boys run past and trample his backpack. Bruce watches them run inside and shrugs despairingly. He opens up his backpack and pulls out the crisp tube, which has been lightly crushed. He molds it into shape and looks down it at an inverted image. Upside down, he sees Friday walking along the street, closely followed by Andy. He takes the tube away from his eye and gawks at them both.
You busy? Friday!
Friday runs over and licks Bruce's face.
Oh, good boy, good boy.
So what's the plan? The dogs have less than a day left. We've got to get them out of there now. That's really more a goal than a plan.
There's a no-kill shelter outside the city, so if we can get them out of the pound and over the county line, then they're home free.
Right.
We gotta move quick.
Andy, what happens to us?
They stop. She looks down.
It's, Look, Bruce, it's not gonna be good. We're going to be in more trouble than we've ever been in.
Bruce eyes her, pale and worried. Dave glances over at them.
But we're going to save the dogs. It's what we're supposed to do, right?
Smiling, Bruce nods.
Okay, guys.
He holds up a map.
Okay, so here's a pound, and this is the county line. And this is what we're going to do.
They pull up outside the Central City Animal Control Pound in the dog van. Friday growls, Heather's with them.
We ready?
Mark's in the back.
Let's do this!
He's in combat.
Got sausage.
Fire! 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 Hello? One of your girls screaming for help and yelling fire! You're supposed to get
I have one.
Heather bangs at the entrance. ACO Jake flounders.
Where?
Oh, when they say chivalry is dead, it's right over there.
As he comes out with a fire extinguisher, the kids rush in. They jam a pole through the door so he can't get in.
A bunch of kids eager to adopt, I bet.
Where are the keys?
There!
They grab the keys and start to unlock the cages.
You didn't think we'd forget you, did you?
And there's the guys too, come on! Let's go, come on! Let's go, Chef, come on, let's go!
Let's go for a run, you guys, come on!
Go, go, go!
Dogs file out of their cages. Jake tries a door at the back of the pound. There are more cages to unlock.
Checking out.
We're gonna get you guys out of here. Come on.
Hurry up,
Tor.
Gotta go.
Romeo and the poodle lick each other's tongues on their release.
Let's go, let's go!
Way to go, Chef! Good girl.
Okay, the coast is clear. Bring her on back.
The dog van is back towards the pound.
What's going on here? I know you. All right, let's go.
Wait,
we're going
no,
to jail.
Trouble!
Hey,
trouble!
We can do this hard, or we can do it easy. Let's go, Missy. Come on.
Get your paws off of her! Get down there!
Mark jumps on him.
Heather, save yourself! Save yourself! Go!
Heather flees. Inside, Jake watches a long line of dogs race out. Henry growls at him.
Nobody's going anywhere.
Jake holds out a dog-catching noose. Henry bares his teeth and eyes Jake fearsomely. Jake backs away, runs into one of the cages, and locks himself in.
Keys.
Jake checks a key ring on his belt loop. The keys aren't there. A dog trudges along with the keys in his mouth.
Hey!
A dog sprints off with the keys. Andy and Bruce open the doors at the front of the pound, and the dogs stream out.
Okay, Friday, you're gonna lead the pack.
The kids get in the van.
Mark!
Yes!
Thank you!
Come on, Friday, a little faster, buddy. You can do it. Follow the sausage, Friday. Follow the sausage.
Friday leads the dogs after the van.
Well, that went well.
Yeah, well, we're not done yet.
They left Mark back at the pound sitting on ACO Max. People stare as the dogs race through the city after the van.
Let's go.
A waitress in a cafe pours coffee all over the table as she gawps at the pack of dogs sprinting by. A young girl in a pushchair smiles. A woman takes a photo on her phone. A cop on a motorbike spots them. He has a speed gun. Dave spots him in the wing mirror.
Oh, that's not good.
Andy closes her eyes and puts her hand to her head anxiously. The same guy as before sits on the same bench eating a hot dog. The dogs run past as he's about to take a bite and he stops and stares. He straightens in surprise and his hand lowers. A dog steals his hot dog. The man stands. A squad car chases after the dog van, its lights flashing. Cooper rips off the squad car's front number plate.
Hey!
Cooper canters off. The van careers around a corner.
Almost there, just up ahead.
He points at a bridge in front of them. Friday darts along the street at the head of the pack. His nose twitches and he sniffs. He can smell the bone sweet bone blanket. Instead of following the van, he turns a corner. Bruce watches.
Oh, no.
All the other dogs follow Friday. Bruce stands up. Dave slams his foot on the brake in the back. Heather falls over.
Where are they going?
Bruce watches as the dogs pour down another street.
Home. They're going home.
Andy's open mouth. She glances down thoughtfully, then at Dave. Dave sets the van in motion. Friday tears along the street, the pack of dogs herring after him. An old woman sits on a bench by the side of the road, her dog by her. The dog jumps off the bench and races towards the other dogs. A woman screeches to a halt in front of the hotel as the dogs all cross the road heading for the hotel. A spiky-haired boy in the back of the car draws a breath and stares, mouth agape, at the dog spectacle. The dogs swarm into the hotel. A squad car pulls up outside. Another squad car pulls up and a group of cops hurry over.
Lock the edges, make sure they don't get back out. Let's get some more animal control out here.
How much?
All of it.
We need all available animal control. All available animal control.
The dog van comes around the corner and parks up outside the hotel. Andy and Bruce get out and stare at the mayhem. Dave and Heather get out of the other side. They run past the crowds towards the hotel. A huge animal control van pulls up. ACOs jump out.
It is pure bedlam down here as authorities try to take control of the situation.
This scheme was supposedly the work of several juvenile delinquents.
Upstairs, right now. Let's go.
There's no need to get upset, officer. Animal control is on the scene.
All right, everybody, if you're going to let us do our job, we'll have all these dangerous canines rounded up and out of your hair presently.
Right, well, right away. Let's do it.
Can I get through here?
Watch out, please.
No. Not you again.
Those dogs belong to us. They're family.
Yeah, we're not going to let you cover all wearing goons take them away from us. And you can put that in your report.
Officer, would you please arrest these young felons right now so we can get back to work?
Fine, just leave the dogs alone.
Andy, there he is.
Ah! That's our dog. You can't just take him away.
I'm here. Oh, puppy.
Stop!
The crowd stills as Bernie walks out onto the landing.
Okay, now who are you? I'm Bernie Wilkins.
He has the signing in book. He searches for his ID.
Social services.
Like I said, get him out of here.
The cops hassle the kids.
Come on, listen. Can you just hear me out before you throw these kids in jail and destroy all these innocent dogs?
A cop looks startled. Someone is filming.
I see no reason why we can't hear both sides. Look, I'm responsible for these kids. And I know what they did was wrong. But I gotta tell you, I wish I had the guts to do what they did.
Bruce and Andy look up slowly.
I've been trying to place kids in good homes for 15 years. And most of the time, I'm not successful. But these kids, they didn't make excuses. They didn't get frustrated with the system and give up. They just went out and did it. They saved everybody.
Carol smiles warmly at Bruce from the crowd.
They created their own little family.
You call this a family? A bunch of mangy strays in an old hotel?
ACO Max scoffs. Bernie opens the signing-in book defiantly. He starts to read from Bruce's entries.
Madison.
Andy glances at Bruce. Confused, people look around.
Madison.
A shaggy, white-haired terrier trots in, wagging its tail.
Madison.
The crowd smiles.
August 3rd. Found hiding in the backyard after the family moved away and left her behind. Viola and Sebastian, the twins.
The Dachshund mutts.
Together since they were puppies, Viola got snagged on a fence, but Sebastian refused to leave his sister behind. Chelsea.
The three-legged dog.
Chelsea lost her leg in an accident. The owner didn't pay the bill and abandoned her at the vet. Coco, Rocky, and Harley.
Three more dogs.
Found living together in the woods near a dump. And there's many more. Ginger. Henry. Romeo. Juliet. Cooper.
Cooper, the burly bulldog, seems as if he's scowling.
Shep.
The dogs gather on the stairs.
George. Does that say George?
Georgia. Her name's Georgia. And Lenny.
Georgia stands under Lenny.
Georgia and Lenny. They're the first two residents in this hotel. The hotel for dogs.
The dogs wag their tails.
No one was turned away when they needed a home. Nobody was abandoned when they were looking for a family. Are you really going to tell me that we're going to just abandon them now?
Members of the crowd shake their heads. Friday wriggles out of Max's arms and up the steps. Friday darts into the hotel and the other dogs follow.
They don't look like mangy strays, officer. But you don't mind if we take a look upstairs, do you? I think it's in the public's best interest.
The officer dons his hat.
Be my guest.
The journalist heads up the stairs, followed by the rest of the crowd. Andy puts her hand on Bruce's shoulder, and they beam at each other as people jostle past to survey their hotel. Bernie looks down at them and breathes a sigh of relief, then smiles fondly. People barge past Max and Jake, who pout angrily. Bernie puts down the signing-in book. Max passes Mark, who pulls a face. Max jumps, Heather hugs Bruce, Dave walks over to Andy.
You did great.
You don't think I was too pushy?
I like pushy.
They gaze deep into one another's eyes. Andy puts her arm gently around the back of his neck and they kiss. Heather puts her hand over Bruce's eyes. Bruce coughs, Mark joins Heather.
Mark?
Heather. Isn't this when the hero gets the girl?
Heather kisses him on the cheek affectionately.
Baby steps.
She smiles and walks away. Mark smiles dreamily.
Do you mind if I... No. Okay, sorry.
Carol comes over.
You kids are heroes. You should be proud.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, but the bad news is in all this, I still haven't been able to find a foster family that's willing to take you guys.
That's okay, Bernie. We know you tried your best.
But the good news is, I have found some real parents that might be willing to adopt.
Andy turns sharply to Bruce.
Adopt?
Yeah. See, the mom is excellent. She's a teacher, so she's really great with kids.
And he cannot cook to save his life. And he shouts during football games like the players can actually hear him. Mm-hmm. But he has a great heart.
Bernie puts his arm around Carol and Carol beams.
Wait a minute.
Do they like dogs?
We love dogs.
Andy and Bruce hug them. Friday barks and wags his tail. A flock of birds fly over the hotel. White and blue balloons hang from various windows of the hotel. A massive banner says Grand Reopening. Parked outside are several spotted Dalmatian-like cars. Heather strides up, dressed smartly in a suit.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the Hotel for Dogs.
Inside, it's a hive of activity.
Thanks to the generosity of the entire city, we are now able to take care of all your canine needs.
Thank you, Georgia.
At reception, Georgia brings Dave a key.
Room 320 is now available.
Georgia wears a hat and scarf.
Oh, sorry, Georgia. Forgot your tip. Good girl.
A biscuit.
Thanks, Georgia.
Whether you are here to board or adopt, please note we are a green hotel.
Hi, Cooper.
In the recycling bin.
Cooper, get back to work.
A sign reads Hotel for Dogs Adoption Service.
Remember to stop by our nursery and dog care center and meet the wonderful pups available for adoption.
There are several glass tanks with puppies in them. A tiny, cute golden puppy plays with a plastic bone on the floor. Romeo and Juliet stand over their puppies.
Tired doggies can rejuvenate and refresh at our spa. We offer everything from soothing shiatsu massages to cleansing facials.
Dogs wear cucumber eye masks.
And after a healthy workout session, come visit our beauty salon to take care of fur styles and pamper your paws.
A large poodle has its claws painted with nail varnish. Lenny wears a hat.
We feature a variety of activities for every dog.
Dogs drink a cocktail.
For those 18 dog years and older, we are proud to present quality entertainment in the exclusive Hound Lounge.
Ruff, ruff, ruff.
Ruff, ruff, ruff.
Dogs sit at lamp-lit dinner tables and enjoy waitress service, and Carl and Lois sing on stage.
Ruff, ruff, ruff.
Who's gonna buy me something to eat?
Bernie cooks at a barbecue on the roof.
Okay, who wants well done, because they're all well done. Mm.
Yes, well, you know, this is one flaw.
One flaw?
Hey, I can hear you. I'm right here.
A table is laid. Bernie and Carol join Bruce and Andy at the table. A huge sign over the hotel reads, Hotel for Dogs. ITFC audio description written by Alice Sanders and read by John Walskill. Unit Production Manager Lee Shanter, First Assistant Director Scott Robertson, Second Assistant Director Jonas Baccarotelli. Cast: Andy, Emma Roberts, Bruce, Jake T. Austin, Bernie, Don Cheadle, Dave, Johnny Simmons, Heather, Kyla Pratt, Mark, Troy Gentile, Lois Scudder, Lisa Kudrow, Carl Scudder, Kevin Dillon, ACO Jake, AJ Nadu, ACO Max, Eric Edelstein, Carol, Robin Lee, Muz Camwell, Yvette Nicole Brown. Officer Mike, Maximiliano Hernandez, Officer Jeff, Andre Ware, Evan, Jonathan Klein, Department Store Employee, Ruben Garfias, Jason, Kenny Vibert, Desk Sergeant, Steve Liska, Hot Dog Man, Jeremy Howard, Marianne, Taya Sarkar, Beth, Mariah Moore, Girl in TV Room, Brittany Christian, Male Reporter, Jim Doohan, Female Reporter, Gina St. John, Matilda Froman, Catherine Hill McCord, Passerby, Karina Oakland, Mom with Kid in Car, Susan Avalos, Officer Clark, Dwayne Swingler, ACO Dooley, Greg Spoorleader, Kid in Car, Brandon Avalos, ACO Tanner, Brendan Wayne, Woman with Dog, Andrea Gold, Stunt Coordinator, Thomas Robinson Harper, Music Executive, Jennifer Hawks, Orchestra conducted by John Debney, Music Editors, Brent Brooks, Jeff Carson, Jim Harrison, Orchestrations by Brad Dechter, John Ashton Thomas, Christopher Lord, Kyle Dutarnowski, Frank Bennett, Michael C. Watts, Kevin Kasker, Andrew Kinney. Music recorded and mixed by Robert Fernandez. Additional recording, Jimmy Hoyson. Pro Tools engineer, Vincent Cirilli. Score production supervisor, Melanie Mullins Hoyson. Music score coordinator, Lola Debney. Score recorded and mixed at Warner Brothers Scoring Stage. Scoring recordist, Greg Denon. Scoring technician, Ryan Robinson. Scoring crew, Jamie Olvera, Richard Wheeler. Orchestra contracted by Sandy DeCrescent, Peter Rotter. Music preparation, Mark Graham, Joanne Kane Music Service. Score performed by the Hollywood Studio Orchestra. Help shelter dogs find loving homes. Adopt, volunteer, donate. The producers wish to thank General Motors and Boost Mobile. Songs: Get Lucky, written by Martina Sorbara, performed by Dragonette, courtesy Dragonette Inc., by arrangement with Zinc Music Inc. Hoo 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 Hoo, written by Ali D, performed by Lisa Kudrow and Kevin Dillon. Into Action, written and performed by Tim Armstrong, courtesy of Hellcat Records. Battle Without Honor or Humanity, written and performed by Tomoyasu Hoti, courtesy of Capitol Records, under license from EMI Film and Television Music. Born to be Wild, written by Mars Bonfire, performed by Steppenwolf, courtesy of Geffen Records, under license from Universal Music Enterprises. A Beautiful World, written and performed by Tim Myers, courtesy of Tim Myers, by arrangement with Zinc Music, Inc. It Had to Be You, written by Joshua Kane, Jesse Johnson, Justin Pierre, Matthew Taylor and Tony Thaxton, performed by Motion City Soundtrack, courtesy of Epitaph. Say So, written by Camilla Gray, Leisha Haley and Alicia Warrington, performed by Her, courtesy of Network Productions. The Murder from Psycho, written by Bernard Herrmann. Reason Why, written and performed by Rachel Yamagata, courtesy of RCA Victor, by arrangement with Sony BMG Music Entertainment. Best Days, written and performed by Matt White, courtesy of Geffen Records, under license from Universal Music Enterprises. Rough, 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 written by, performed by Ali D. My New Best Friend, written and performed by Luke Tierney, courtesy of Fundamental Music, Aquaman and the Flash, trademark and copyright DC Comics. All rights reserved. Produced in association with Mavro Cine Pictures. Copyright 2008 Mavro Cine Pictures, GmbH & Co. KG. All rights reserved. DreamWorks LLC is the author and creator of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto, and for purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. American Humane monitored the animal action. No animals were harmed. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution.